What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode number 76, we are going to be discussing the UFC Vegas 11 results, which saw Tyrone Woodley get beat down by Colby Covington. We're going to take a look ahead to the UFC's return to Abu Dhabi's Fight Island for UFC 253, headlined by two championship fights, one at 185 pounds and the other for the vacant 205-pound strap. We are also going to be talking about Michael Chandler's move from Bellator over to the UFC. And we're going to take a look at the big boxing card coming up this weekend that sees both of the Charlo brothers return to action on the same pay-per-view. Before we get into all that, grab your weed, fire it up, and let's get started with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, word today, we are smoking on two different kinds of flower. We got the Gorilla Glue number 4 still, GG4, which I'm not going to break down, Paul, because we've been talking about it for a couple weeks, but it is some top shelf herb. We got this fine raw cone filled with it here that we're puffing on, but we also have some ice cream cake, which is also a indica hybrid. We're looking at wedding cake.
Holy shit, there's a lot of different fucking...
Right, there's a lot of different strains on here, right? Well, I broke it down a little bit deep on this ice cream cake because I like the lineage. We got basically what it sounds like. We got gelato number 33 crossed with wedding cake. So gelato 33 is sunset sherbet crossed with thin mint cookies. Then wedding cake is basically a phenotype of triangle mints. And we've discussed phenotypes on the show before. So we got to take a look at what triangle mints is. And that's triangle kush crossed with animal mints, another strain we were just talking about within the last couple weeks. So with the wedding cake equals a very pretty bud, completely different looking than the Gorilla Glue, which is like a limeish green color with a lot of heavy crystals on it. Whereas, yeah, this wedding or this ice cream cake, I mean, is it's dense, it's dark. There's a lot of purple in here. We got, you know, more greens and purples, and we got orange, and the color's more of like a deep piney green.
It's fucking dense as hell.
Yeah, very much so. Where that the glue
you can't
is,
even squish it with
fluffy.
Your hand. Yeah, the glue is more like, a little bit more fluffy, a little bit more like. A few little more air pockets in it, you know.
Yeah, fluffy and sticky, where that's dense and hard. But both some top shelf herb, which I'm looking forward to getting into this ice cream cake here. We hope you are smoking on something good out there while you are listening. And we are going to go ahead and get started with UFC Vegas 11. These are really getting monotonous with the names of the Apex.
Good thing they're over
here
today.
Yeah, this we got a break now. We got,
this is all Abu Dhabi 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, now it's back to the Abu Dhabi numbered. But whatever, you know, we're back on the island now for what, the next like 5 events.
I believe so. I think it's the pay-per-view. It's this pay-per-view bridged to the Khabib pay-per-view.
Yeah. So, but let's finish up with the Vegas business. I mean, we talked about it last week.
I want to start this off by saying this was a great card that lived up to every single like bit of the hype. Like there was great fights on it top to bottom.
Yeah, it was pretty enjoyable. It was nice, refreshing change from the way some of the cards have been lately. Everybody put in some work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's start from the bottom. First, we saw Mackenzie Dern come in and secure just a textbook clean submission against Randa Markos, who, don't get me wrong, she was not giving it up by any means, but...
No, Randa Markos fought hard on the ground. And look, man, I'm just going to say it how I saw it. I don't understand what happened there. I don't understand. And what I mean is Mackenzie comes out with this wild, crazy kick that she totally misses and falls flat on her butt. And then Markos, what she should have done, which I think everybody out there can agree upon, is simply back up and let Mackenzie stand up.
Yeah.
Like, Mackenzie's kickboxing is getting better, but it's just not that great. But her jiu-jitsu is beyond a doubt world-class. No one can argue this. And Randa Markos instead just falls into Mackenzie Dern's guard, where she proceeds to stay for like 2 minutes until she's submitted.
She got a couple different submissions on her. She almost had the omoplata. She almost had the fucking... She almost hit her with the triangle and then comes out with the armbar. I was like, damn.
So taking nothing away from Dern's incredible performance there on the ground.
Well, that's what she's supposed
to do. That was insane. Yeah. That was the dumbest move I've ever seen a fighter just willingly make and then refuse to stand up afterwards. What are you thinking? Well, you have zero chance of beating her on the ground. Zero.
Let's just be honest here. Let's be honest, man. This was an underhand pitch for her from the UFC after that Pollyanna Viana fight when she just came back from her pregnancy. This is her getting her getting her groove back, getting her activity back. Now she actually has, like she said, that she doesn't have any of the physical effects that she had in the first fight back since her pregnancy. So I think I feel like this was a chance for her to get back on track. And she's fighting Randa Markos, who's coming in at 10-9, and now it's 10-10.
Well, she's 10-9, but she had a bad record before she came to the UFC. But with that 10-9, she's also never had a 2-fight losing streak.
True.
You know, like, she's a talented fighter, and I'm not denigrating her by saying she can't win on the ground against Mackenzie Dern. That's not an insult. You don't willingly go where you have a 90% chance of losing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You get it back up on the feet where you've got a decent chance of putting in some work. If you can keep it standing, man, you could win this fight.
Absolutely.
I don't get it.
It didn't make much sense.
I would say it's a rookie mistake, but she has 20 fights.
Yeah, true. 21, because one's
and she's contest. Like 35. So yeah. I don't know what to say. I was really disappointed. In her performance, Mackenzie looked great on the ground. Shocker.
She gets performance of the night bonus at the end of the night.
Good for her. You know, let's see.
Move on back up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Randa has kind of become the gatekeeper of, like, people in that top 15. Like, if you get a win over her, you get in that top 15 come Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer she's going to be in the game here.
Well, I think this is also the beginning of what could be a flourishing career for Mackenzie Dern. Now she's, 5 fights into her UFC career. She's starting to really get her, like you said, her kickboxing is a little raw, but at the same time, she's working on it.
She's working on it.
Like, so. Yeah.
She's shown she can improve.
I think
it
was a good step forward for her.
It was, yeah. But I don't think she can count on opponents willingly just falling into her garb like that.
Without a doubt.
At some point, she's going to come across fighters that aren't going to have nothing to do with that. So we'll see.
But I think that also shows her ability to adapt, though. She said before the fight, going into the fight, that she wanted to stand up with her and how she wanted to. She had all this new striking that she was working on that she wanted to really showcase it in this fight.
That's why I thought Markos was probably going to win, because I expected a full stand-up fight.
Yeah, went south real quick.
I was texting you like, what is she doing?
I knew as soon as it went to the ground, it was over.
Me too.
I was like, there's no
what
way.
And then just stay there. Like, no. It was unbelievable. It's not the move, so bad look for her.
But you know
good
what
for Mackenzie.
The move is what happened the fight before that between Kevin Holland and Darren Stewart, where we saw a really, really close fight.
This is at 185, right?
Yeah. Went to the judges' scorecards, and Kevin gets the win by split decision, but from what he said his own – going into this fight, both these guys, they weren't talking a lot of shit, but they were, like, talking shit at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, there's that shit talk that's not necessarily shit talk. It's just raw emotion. You know what I mean? Like, both going into the fight, they're like, I know this guy's going to fight. He knows I'm going to fight. One of us is getting knocked the fuck out. Like, from the beginning, that was kind of the mantra of both guys. Is like, we're going to be in this fight, and it's going to be fireworks from the beginning to the end, and one of us is going to come out with a knockout. And I feel like Kevin Holland wanted that early in the fight and then kind of faded a little bit.
He definitely faded a bit.
Yeah. He even said after the fight, he goes, if that was a 5-round fight, he beats me probably in the 4th or 5th round.
Takes a man to admit that.
And he said he's down to run it back.
That as well.
It's pretty
big. I enjoyed the fight. How did you have it scored?
I had Kevin winning.
So did I.
Yeah, so
I wasn't
really,
like.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he clearly lost the third, but what, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But I think at the same time, what also matters is, like, that performance gets him moved up and possibly in the rankings, but that fight and performance doesn't get him a higher caliber opponent than Darren Stewart, because the UFC looks at what happened there and goes, well, you must just be at that caliber, so we're not going to give you the higher guys up in the division because we're not sure if you're quite ready. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. As a quick aside, I'm trying this wedding or this ice cream cake, I mean, for the first time. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a little peppery.
Yeah.
To me. You know, everybody's taste is different. It's like wine. Everybody's like, oh, I taste vanilla and oak. And people do the same thing with weed. But I mean, seriously, I mean, it tastes, it's good.
I'll fuck with it.
That's very tasty, sir.
Yeah. You see, you know what I mean?
I thought they're going to run it back, though, realistically. Yeah. But is a, you know, it was a good fight. I don't think it takes anything away from Darren Stewart either. Dentist is coming out all right after that.
Yeah. It was a close fight, but he clearly lost 2 rounds of 1.
What did you think of the Jessica Rose Clark fight that was stopped and then restarted?
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Because we had a pretty massive knee landed by Jessie Jess to her opponent's face while she was almost down on her butt, but wasn't.
Yeah.
And the referee thinks that she was down.
Tough angle.
You can't fault him there.
Yeah.
It was a tough angle. So then he stops it. They look at the replay. Meanwhile, old girl is just bleeding out.
Yeah.
Like, she was definitely walloped.
Yeah.
And then he restarts the fight.
Yeah.
Said he didn't wave it off, restarts, and then Jessica Rose Clark proceeds to beat the shit out of old girl.
He's right, because I know you can only use a replay in fight-ending sequences, but if that's not a legal knee, that's not a fight-ending sequence. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because in the chance that it is a legal knee, he stops it there, and then they find out if she can continue or not. But in the case of him using it, like, during a call, I think that could be used.
I thought it was fine. I didn't really understand the outrage other than, like, it was a bad look because
she was.
And I'm sorry, I can't remember her opponent's name. I don't mean any disrespect to her, but I've never heard of her before or
that's
after.
On her corner, though.
But
that's
like, not on her, she was bleeding pretty bad, so it looked bad.
Yeah.
If there wasn't so much blood, it would have just, you know, whatever.
Here's the thing. She still chose to step out there, you know?
Yeah, that's the ref was like, can you continue? And she was like, yeah, so what's the problem?
Yeah, there's no problem.
The announcers were freaking out. Oh, how could you let this go?
People are assholes, though. Did you hear what the guy asked her after the fight?
Uh-oh.
She was like, how does it feel to know that you beat your opponent up so bad before her wedding in 3 weeks? She was like, why the fuck did you say that? I was like, damn, bro, why are you saying that shit? That's fucked up. It's a fight. She signed up to fight. They're fighting.
I don't know about some of these guys. That's a terrible
That's
question.
That's a terrible question. Terrible question.
But I thought Jessica Rose Clark looked,
she looked
great.
Good. Yeah.
All the way around.
Yeah, I mean, she's had kind of like, you know, mixed success and failures in the UFC.
I feel like if she gets it all dialed in like that, she could go somewhere.
I mean, yeah. She's got the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like when, especially when we're talking about the women's division, so since it's like, it's not necessarily still in its infancy, but it hasn't necessarily like evolved at the same level as like the men's division as far as talent.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a lot of women have gone through this thing where they mature during their career instead of where of a lot of men like not to say it, it's just like a lot of the shit that was that's available to men wasn't available to women before. So like a lot of these women who are like the pioneers of MMA had to go out of their way to get good at wrestling, jiu-jitsu, striking, or whatever.
Yeah, they had to go fight their way into gyms that were like all dudes that didn't want to be rolling around
with
a woman.
So my thing is a lot of them end up coming into the UFC as pretty one-dimensional, and then as they go along in their career, they start picking up the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling, the little tips and tricks and stuff like that that is going to get them along against other, like we were just talking, like Mackenzie Dern's a perfect example. Mackenzie Dern's someone who had a lot of big success in the jiu-jitsu world, but has never really, you know, been in the fighting side of things. Mm-hmm. So now she's starting to get her, you know, her striking and shit like that down. So like Ronda too. Ronda's a perfect example.
You know,
she came in as a judo practitioner, and then, you know, then her hands end up being part of her biggest part of her arsenal later on in her career. Whether that was warranted or not, I mean, that's up for debate.
Well, let's mention Roxanne Modafferi in this debate as well, because instead of being one-dimensional, she was actually fighting in MMA in Japan. And then people often, who don't know her story, they'll criticize her and be like, well, how could you be this old? And, you know, you're still, you, like, your striking still looks that rudimentary. Well, because she was fighting in Japan, like, when there was no women fighting, dude. You know how hard it was for her to get fights and to even get anybody to fucking train with?
Yeah.
Like, and she just kept at that. But that's why she's having so much evolution now. You know what I mean? Yeah. As someone else who, even at a later stage in her career, where she's definitely in the latter portion at this point, clearly. But she's still evolving because she's exposed to better training and acceptance at gyms now. Now it's no big deal.
And that's what I mean, though, is like now because of that, the divisions are all starting to evolve to where like someone like Jessica Rose Clark's a perfect example. You know, she came in and she started a little green. Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like, the women's division is like, I'm just comparing it to her, like, evolution as a fighter. Like, there's a lot of women who've come in who have to, like, mature during their career instead of being able to be, like, there's not a lot of sharpened, like, prospects that come in who, like, oh, well, this guy's
they don't have the full game because they've been training in MMA.
There's not a lot of Aaron Picos in freaking women's division. There's no one who's a wrestler, a boxer, a this, a that, and now they're going to do MMA.
But the good news is this next generation,
that's what I'm saying. It's going to continue to become shit like that.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're seeing with, like, people like Valentina. Like, she's a perfect – she's freaking ridiculous, dude. She is ridiculous. She is, like, the next wave. Like, that's, like, going to be the standard. You're going to have to be that good to be the champion in those divisions for now until whenever someone beats her. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, I mean, this is a woman that should be on anybody's short
list. Same thing with Amanda.
Like, current greatest active MMA fighters. Not just women or men, but just fighters overall.
Well, that's why I like how they split a pound-for-pound list now. That there's a women's pound-for-pound list and a man's pound-for-pound list because there is...
Do you see? I don't like that.
I like it just because I don't think it's fair to compare because I feel like men have had so much more chance to evolve as a sport in MMA than the women's division has had. So how can you nitpick and be like, okay, well, Amanda, she's great, but she can't be in the top five because if you're going to start talking about intergender fights, like what do we,
that's what I mean. I get that argument and I'm not saying I'm against it forever, but right now there's not enough women to populate a top 10. There's just not. There's like five that are really serious.
There should be like a universal because actually the UFC don't they
own
it?
Yeah, it's because
Invicta?
It's only the UFC. That's what I'm saying. It, yeah, but they only pull the UFC and there's just, dude, there's not even a 145 pound division. It's so you're talking about the top 10 basically of the bantamweight division.
Pretty much
is your top 10.
If you look at it, it's a lot of bantamweight, it's a lot of flyweight.
I mean, I'm just saying, or like, strawweight for the most part. You know, not exactly that, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's circle back here to UFC Vegas 11, so we can move past it and look ahead to Abu Dhabi.
Well, let's talk about another freaking hell of a fight. Was that Johnny Walker versus Ryan Spann fight? That was a freaking...
Oh, man.
That was ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, we saw Johnny Walker get rocked and then come back and just knock out Spann with some very vicious elbows and hammer fists.
I want to correct something I said last week, too. Actually, Ryan Spann has been a fucking light heavyweight this whole time. He's just a big motherfucker, dude.
Wow.
I thought he was a heavyweight moving down to light heavyweight, but no, he's been a light heavyweight his whole career. Because you know why I thought he was a heavyweight? Because he fought Sam Alvey, and Sam Alvey's been, like, flirting with heavyweight all the time. You know what I mean? So that's why I thought he was a heavyweight.
Sam Alvey's 185 and sometimes goes to 205.
Dude, not recently. He's fought a heavyweight a few times in the UFC.
Not Smiling Sam.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're smoking too much weed.
Probably. But still,
that was a good fight, though. Johnny Walker, there was some people were trying to say those elbows were to the side of the head. They weren't. Those were clean. Or to the back of the head. I mean, they were to the side. They were clean.
To the side, yeah. They were clean.
Yeah, those were good. It was a good shot. The ref was right there. I like to call that the Travis Brown because he was the first guy I ever saw really do that when he did that to Josh Barnett. When he did those elbows when Josh was going in for the takedown. Like, I'd often wondered why fighters don't do something like that, and then Travis Brown just rained them fucking hammers down.
You know what
and
I
now,
think it is?
That's what I think of when I see people do that. I call it the Travis Brown.
I think it's the possibility of finishing someone with an illegal blow. Like, I feel like people just try to stay away from
stay
that.
Away.
You know what I mean?
They
just
should
in
implement
the,
it more because everybody yeah. seems to have success with that move when they do it.
John Jones. Dude, mm-hmm. John Jones fucking had some savage moments in that position.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, here's the thing though, is what we also saw was Johnny Walker face adversity and then get himself together and then freaking get the finish. I mean, it
yeah,
was a little
reset.
Wild, but
it was wild.
But wild
for,
as fuck.
For Johnny Walker,
but
fight,
light heavyweight
calm,
can be
though.
Wild sometimes, you know?
Look, this dude's a wild man, and he has showed a lot of restraint, I think. And he yeah. restrained himself afterwards. He's training with John Kavanaugh out of SBG Ireland now, yeah. which is a... They don't fuck around down there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to let this dude be a fool. He's not yeah. Connor. You know yeah. what I mean? Connor's about the only dude who can just be like, fuck you, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, so my point being they're
well,
disciplined.
Well, he's trained with Faraz for a little bit, too.
Yeah, well, he's doing smart things.
Yeah.
And it seems to pay off. And I don't think he's ready for the title shot yet, but he's showing some improvement here.
Yeah.
So, exciting fight, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was the shit. I was really impressed.
I don't even really care to talk about what's next, but we got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what about Cowboy and
No,
Nico
we got
to
talk what about your boy, dude?
He's not my boy. I don't like him one bit. I respect his fighting, though.
Yeah, dude, that was disgusting. What we're talking about is that Khamzat Chimaev, dude, fucking knocked Jared Mershard out with one punch, dude.
Jared Mershard got slept with just a absolutely textbook
just fucking
straight
missile.
Right hand.
Bink.
Perfect form. Shot yeah. it out like a fucking boxer, man. I'll give
dude,
the guy a lot
legit.
Of credit on
He's
that.
He's legit as fuck.
He's a legit fighter.
He's legit as fuck.
It must suck to be Gerald Meerschaert.
Oh, now, dude. Man. Talked all that shit about he will never fight on October 8th if I have anything to say about it. And then to get
I mean, at least he didn't
points.
Get subbed.
Dude,
that was his
no,
big
dude.
Thing. No, they made the big bet like
no,
he's going
to
retire
no,
if he
no,
got subbed.
No, no, no. That was the absolute worst case scenario.
I was just
of
trying
all,
to
no,
not shit on
no,
the guy that
no,
bad because I don't like that Chimaev motherfucker.
No. Sure. You don't have to. What he did is fight, what he though. Did. That was literally worst case scenario what happened that day. Like, bro, he got knocked
Lights
out with one
out.
Fucking punch. Like, what was that, 14
and
seconds
it wasn't
in?
Even like some wild, like, Cody no. Garbrandt ducking down,
dude,
jumping
just hit him
up
with
like
a missile.
Superman. It was just a perfect missile.
Dude, right down the middle. Fucking.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he should really fight Damian Maya next because it's probably going to knock him the
What's
fuck
the point
out
of
too.
That fight? Let's get the guy some
yeah,
real competition.
He should fight Wonderboy. I know Wonderboy's kind of... You know, calling out for the first time in his career Leon Edwards. But Chimaev also said he wants to fight Leon Edwards. So, I don't know. Make one of those fights.
Yeah, do that, please.
Don't fight Damian Maya. Though,
dude, Damian's
please.
Old. He's going to get mauled by this fucking
He already
guy.
Got knocked out by Gilbert earlier this year. I don't want to see him get knocked
stop,
out again,
man.
Dude. Like,
stop.
Fuck.
For real. I don't want
I think that
no
fight
desire.
Was, like, scheduled but never actually signed yet.
I hope so.
Because, like, he was, like, calling guys out like he had an option on his next fight.
Well, how could you sign it? When he had an upcoming fight, like sign
yeah.
it, sign it. You
I don't
can make
think
promises
can.
To sign it because
yeah.
he could get hurt.
Exactly.
And then what I if he's all fucked up and he's got a signed mm-hmm. contract?
Mm-hmm. That's why I think you saying. Like you agree to terms, but you don't necessarily
yeah,
sign.
You don't sign on the dotted line until
yeah.
after the other fight.
Yeah. So yeah, I would actually like to see.
God,
them.
If he has, if he's yeah. smart, he don't want to fuck with Damian Maya, dude. Everybody, that's nobody wants to see that because everybody knows he's gonna fuck him up.
Or
he
the
should
situation
take a name right now.
Yeah.
Really seize the moment, dude. If you're gonna do it, see, I think he should shoot higher than Wonder Boy. Frankly,
I think would make a lot of sense. Would maybe? I mean, he's not higher. He's higher than Damian Maya, so I'll take Vicente Luque.
That'd be a pretty sick fight.
Him versus Luque, dude. Luque's got a Luque's fucking
a
chin on him, dude.
He's got a chin.
And he's fought
he
everybody.
Brings it.
And he's like, what, eighth in the division. So what's up?
There you go.
He hasn't fought anybody who's ranked.
And he puts
Damian's
on a hell of a
like,
show.
What, 13th or something like that? I'll take Vicente Luque all day.
Damian's 13th out of respect.
Yeah,
I
he's
mean,
had some rough times.
Let's be honest. He's like 53.
He's like 42.
He's pushing 74, man.
He's what, 53?
No, but seriously, I think he is like 42 or 3.
I think so.
I'm going to look it up.
But
in the meantime, I think that makes a much better
At the
fight.
Same time, it's like, come on, man. Like, how if this guy's legitimate, the UFC kind of needs someone to pop right now. So why not put him in with someone like Luque, who you know is going to bring in the noise, and those fools will go to. And if he doesn't, if he sleeps fucking Luque, that's even bigger because that guy is like, got the iron chin, bro.
Well, he turns 43 in like 5 weeks.
Oh, jeez.
So we're right on it, dude.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, don't do that.
Let's be real here.
Yeah, let's not.
He's earned his shit.
Him to concuss Damian Maia, age 43.
For real. I think we can all agree he's going to destroy that dude. Let's give him some real competition and see what's up, man.
Give him Robbie Lawler.
Oh, my God. Let's not.
Or Neil Magny.
Dude, speaking of people that at some point you got to say, let's not. Let's go to the co-main event where we see one of my favorites of all time, dude, Donald Cowboy Cerrone fighting Nico Price. Winds up being a draw because of a lot of eye pokes in the opening and second round by Nico, resulted in a point deduction, which meant that it was a draw instead of a win.
Yeah.
I mean, the fight was entertaining, but...
It was another case of two rounds to one.
I don't know. Donald Cerrone's 0-4-1 now. In his last five fights, he's winless. How long do we keep this up?
Yeah, I don't know. But here's the deal, too, is like... The eye pokes, and then fucking Donald poked him twice in the eye in the second round, too. It's like, fuck. Like, both of them were sitting there with their hands out the whole time. Which I get the style.
I'm not
like,
saying Donald did this, but if I
shit,
took
but...
two nasty eye pokes, I'd be...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought Donald's was worse. Donald fucking clawed him. Donald's like was like in his... Fucking eye, dude.
I mean, I'd at least land a nut shot from hell. I mean, you get one free nut shot.
Yeah.
You take two eye pokes, you should land a fucking nut shot on the other dude. That's just the way I don't know. Maybe I just have that street mentality.
I don't know about a nut shot, dude. Because, like, if he hits you on the right spot of the cup, dude, you could be down for... You could happen like, what's his name? Sergey Karatsanov.
Oh, you get the busted ball?
Bust a nut, bro. Yeah. Not in the good way, either. Yeah.
In the worst way possible.
The worst way you want to have. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Those kind of situations, you kind of just got to look at it as like, I would really just, I consider it a win for Nico Price. I mean.
Well, yeah, and Donald, he's a man. He came out and said just what I just said. He was like, dude, it's only a draw.
They said they're down to running back.
So we can see Nico Price beat up fucking Donald again.
Nico is fucking him up, dude.
He was. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, it's
dude,
like, I love Donald.
He outstruck him like 85-20 in the first round or something like that.
Like, you can't hang with these upper tier.
There was a couple
guys.
Times I was thinking it was going to get stopped.
Can we fucking stop?
Yeah.
I just don't. I hit a point where I just don't like seeing the guys just get beat up nonstop. Like, just stop getting beat up. Either go to somewhere where you can win.
Or retire.
Or fucking retire. And I love Donald.
Yeah.
And a guy does what a guy does. I mean, whatever. Yeah. But I'm just saying as a fan, we're talking about what we like as fans on this show, right? As a fan, I don't like seeing Donald Cerrone keep fighting guys that kick his fucking ass.
Yeah, true.
Like, because he's got heart all day. He's never going to stop. He's going to keep going. He's tough as shit.
Yeah.
But you just, at what point is it like, okay, dude, we get it. Like, you're going to go out there and fight your ass off, and somebody better is going to kick your fucking ass.
Yeah.
You're not going to win a title now.
Because what? He's who did he lose to first, Connor or Tony?
I don't remember. His losses piled up. He
was
lost
it like,
to Connor
it was
at the beginning
like
of the year.
Connor, Tony, this fight, right?
Yeah. Bring it up real quick. But at some point, like, for me, it's like, I love you, dude, but
yeah,
I don't
rough.
Like seeing you get beat up like this, man.
Yeah.
It's tough, dude. I mean, he's 36-15-1 with one right, no contest now, which is...
What are we looking at here record-wise?
That's a lot of fucking fights, man. And he's not fighting... Like, Nico Price is not some nobody.
Yeah, Nico
like
Price
he's fighting killers.
Legit. Nico Price is the last person that's not ranked that you want to fight. You know what I mean? Because, like, he's pretty much ranked in everyone else's eyes but the UFC's.
Yeah, so, I mean, he lost the decision to Pettis, and then... He's TKO'd by Connor, and then he's TKO'd by Gaethje, and before that, it was the doctor stoppage to Ferguson. So he got a win over Ally Aquinta decision, that TKO over Alex Hernandez, which was nice, dude. That was great.
Yeah.
And then a win over Mike Perry. Those were solid wins, man. Like, he subbed Mike Perry.
You know where I think everything went wrong for him? Is when he got KO'd by fucking George Masvidal. That's where it all went downhill.
Well, yeah, that set off a string. I mean,
like his record was pretty clean before that.
Yeah, he had that bad loss to Rafael dos Anjos in the title fight at 155, where he came out and just got blitzed. But at that point, he had, what, three losses?
It was like...
And he comes back, he subs Alex Oliveira, which is solid. Yeah. Like, Alex Cowboy Oliveira is no joke, right? Yep. He subs him, and then he gets a TK over Patrick Cote. This is all at 170. And then he gets a win over Rick Story when Rick Story was something.
That was his signature win right there.
Then he gets a win over Matt Brown with that KO kick. That was solid, too, because that was back in 2016. Yeah. You know, Matt Brown was still a bit of a force, but then right after that is when he gets the TKO to Masvidal. That was in Denver, too. That's right. It was hometown.
Yep.
2017. Then he loses the decision to Lawler. Then he gets TKO'd by Darren Till in a fight. You had no business taking that fight, dude. Like, I was cringing when they announced that matchup, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just terrible. Then he gets the TKO over Yancy Medeiros, which was solid.
Yeah. Right?
For what it was, it's not like Yancey is some force in the division. But then he gets the decision loss to Leon Edwards.
But then he goes
on that nice little streak with Mike Perry, Oliveras, and Ally Aquinta. But then after that, it's just...
It's what?
Dude, it's tough with that Tony Ferguson loss, Justin, and the Justin Gaethje loss, then Connor, Jesus, and then the Pettis decision, and now he got his beat down by Nico Price.
Yep.
I mean,
the Pettis fight was close, though.
The Pettis fight was close. I guess what makes it tough is that the Ferguson fight was brutal.
Yeah. Ferguson, the Connor, and the Justin Connor
and the Gaethje fights were brutal.
Were fucking brutal.
I mean, and Connor was just like 40 seconds or whatever, but it was fucking... Even those orbital, shoulder like, strikes were brutal. It was like, holy fuck, dude. Yeah. He's taken so much in the last few fights. So, for me, I'm over really... It's not that I don't want to see Cowboy fight, but I don't want to see Cowboy fight. I'm like, if they were announced his next fight, I'm not like, oh yeah, because I'm. This is a really good matchup. He's probably just gonna get beat up again, man.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm probably still gonna be happy if they announce Cowboy fight.
We'll see who it is, because I'm sure he's not quitting.
Yeah, true.
Tough fight though.
No doubt.
So what about the main event, man? We had the grudge match finally, 170 pounds. Former champ Tyron Woodley, former interim champ Colby Covington. It was what, you know, we talked about last week, frankly.
Yeah.
Beat down of 5 rounds by Colby Covington, ending in a TKO, verbal submission.
Yeah, due to broken ribs.
Broken ribs. He was ridiculously outpunched.
Yeah.
I mean... The third round, I believe it was 113-2.
The first two rounds were close, though.
They weren't.
Not close, but I'm saying, like, Tyron was in the fight the first two rounds.
The first round, I mean, you got Colby.
That takedown was quick, but then he popped up real quick.
Yeah, but Colby's boxing looked great, and he outstruck him 37-13, landed 62%, and he was landing some mean elbows up against the fence.
I'm just saying he was in the fight the first two rounds. It was actually competitive.
After round two, round, he was a little bit better. Woodley was moving better in round two, but then he got right back up against the fence.
Here's the thing.
Right back up against the fence, though.
This is what fucked the whole fight up for him, though. In the first round, when he took him down, he stopped. Like, for the first, like, 15 to 20 seconds, like, Tyron actually fucking threw some feints and fucking looked like he was going to get out there and strike, and then fucking Colby takes him down. It fucked his whole confidence up.
Like, you know what else fucked him up? People talk shit for some reason about Colby not having any punching power, really, because the very few times that Woodley tried to come out, like in round three, Woodley tried some aggression, and then he ate a bunch of fucking shots from Colby, and it was like, oh, fuck, and then just back up against the fucking cage.
Yeah.
Like... If those were pillow fists, he would just eat them and then knock out Colby.
Yeah. I don't like Colby's new team, though. I wish he was still at American Top Team. I think that his new team kind of makes it... There's too much of a jiu-jitsu style with them. I feel like his best-case scenario would be to still be with... what's that guy's name? The one that's Amanda's coach, too?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look at round four. Round four was a hell of a round for Colby Covington.
Yeah, but I think if he was fucking, I thought Woodley was going to quit in the third. Like, I think he was already, after the third, his fucking entire, like, Watch his face in the fight. Like, from the third on, he's fucking gone. He's not in the fight.
He's had that face.
Like, you know what I mean?
Fucking Kamaru Usman round one.
Exactly. Like, he just has... like, you can tell when he's in the fight and he's not in the fight. Like, literally, he just looks away, like, into the camera, and he's just, like, looking at the clock.
I don't get it.
That's literally what he does. Like, in the first two rounds, he was actually engaged in the fight, is what I'm saying. Like, he was defending takedowns. He was trying to stop Colby's onslaught.
Well, by round four, he's getting, he's, you know, Colby's taking him down with a high crotch dump and ground and pounding the hell out of him and opened up them two big ass cuts and was just whooping his ass the whole fourth round.
Yeah.
And then in the fifth round, he verbally submits in a bad look. He's like, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
I can see where it happened, though. Because, like, it's his own fault that it happened. Because his dumbass was trying to do that fucking standing guillotine he always tries to do, which he's never, ever finished, ever in a fight. I've never seen Tyron Woodley ever standing guillotine anybody.
No.
And so he tries that every time.
Burns
and what he
burns his big-ass arms out.
No, it's not even what happened, though. He didn't burn his arms out. He tried to hold on to Colby's head as he lifted him and rotated. Yeah. So he lifted him, rotated, which naturally is going to make your fucking torso cave in, you fucking idiot. What are you doing? He wanted
out
of that.
It was a smart move by Colby.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But a dumb plan by Woodley to hang on to it. But it was just it was an ass whooping, dude.
Yeah, it was not good. I don't know why he took this fight in the beginning. We talked about this last week. I don't think
this guy can't. He shouldn't be fighting at this point, not in the UFC. I mean, he says he's not going to change anything. He's not going to retire, and everything's all good, and he doesn't know what went wrong. Really? I know what went wrong.
You didn't have any offense whatsoever.
Yeah, you backed up against the cage and stood there.
Here's the problem. That used to work for him in his career because you know what he'd do? He'd explode and throw combos off using it almost like as a springboard. Yeah. But now what he
doesn't do that
is
ever.
He takes time off on the cage instead now.
Yeah, well, the time off turns into the whole round every single time. I mean, the one time he tried real aggression in that fight was round three, and Colby simply slipped the big right hand that came, slipped over to the left, and then just peppered fucking Tyrone with shot after shot after shot until he backed right up against the cage again and shelled up, and then there we go.
Here's the thing, this is not the fight it was when it was first announced in, 2016?
I don't know, this has been Woodley for a minute now.
I don't think so, because I think if it was Woodley after the Damian Maia fight, wouldn't he fight till? I think if he fought him then, it would have been a different fight, just because he was more aggressive then. I think his body has failed him. I think his fucking, that whole thing with his wrist and shit, he doesn't throw his hands anymore.
Whatever it is, he's completely in denial about it.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, 100%.
But you know what I mean? Like, there was a reason he, like, took, what was it? He, very similar to a lot of these, like Kane and guys like that. How long was it that he took? It was like 8 months off when he was champion for his like degenerative like arthritis in his hands. Like,
what about the Marquardt KO? There's a lot of people that say that's it. That made him gun shy ever since he got slept by Nate Marquardt, and that's
that turned not necessarily because he came to the UFC and had some good performances after that.
See, that's what I think as well. That's like the big thing that's online right now.
He came into the UFC and was aggressive from the get-go. Like, you can't say that and then look at the fucking, who was it, homeboy from The Ultimate Fighter that he knocked out on his feet.
I don't remember.
Dude with the, what? He's a wrestler also. Fucking the curly, blonde curly hair, he fought GSP also.
Josh Koscheck.
Josh Koscheck. Yeah. Remember, he fucked Josh Koscheck, though.
Yeah, he did.
Then he came into the UFC and then he knocked Robbie out.
Back with Koscheck or something.
You know, like, you can't...
He did get Robbie after some wars, but whatever. He beat Robbie Lawler pretty soundly.
Robbie, though. That punch, and then, I don't give a fuck how...
Then he got champ-itis, dude.
Yeah. Held on to it.
He got...
Although the first fight with fucking Wonder Boy, he was aggressive as fuck then, too. It's the second one of Wonder Boy fight that was terrible.
Whatever it is, he's a shell of himself right now.
Absolutely.
And I don't think he has any business fighting until he figures out what's up. Because he doesn't seem, like you said, he stares off like he doesn't want to be there. And it wasn't like he just did that in the Colby fight. He did that in the Burns fight. He did that in the Usman fight. And not only did he do it in those fights, he did it for five fucking rounds every fight.
Yeah, it's dude, well, that's the thing, is
it's something,
now
man.
He's got 15 rounds to zero in his last three fights, and he's
and
got three 10-8s. Three 10-8s, a 10-8 in all three fights.
You could probably argue that he hasn't won a single minute of any of those rounds.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, nah, there's some minutes. Just because he's so methodical.
Like a full 60 seconds?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where you're like,
Oh shit. Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just what we got to look at reality, man.
Yeah.
Like, and he's taken a lot of punishment.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's worrisome. Yeah. I'm a fan. I think he's been a great champion. I think he's a tremendous athlete. I think he's done a lot of great things. But I don't, if this is the way you're fighting now, dog, you should either retire or you should retire, dude. You got other shit going on, man.
Yeah,
I mean, people joke about his rap career, but, dude, they're just haters, man. I mean, I ain't listened to his shit. It seems corny. But, dude, everybody seems corny until they get fucking better.
Yeah.
Just go grind on that, man.
Yeah, do what you got to do. I don't know, you have that TMZ show. You got UFC Tonight, all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's on that anymore, but he's got movie shit. Yeah, he's
an interesting dude. Like, come on, man. You don't need to get your head beat in if you're just going to sit there.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
So, yeah. I don't know. And on Colby's side, obviously what makes sense next would either be some kind of number one contender fight or a rematch with the champ. But the champ is scheduled to fight in December, which I don't know if I'm Colby, if I want to wait around all the way till next March to fight. Because let's say, because Burns and Usman have been so close in the gym and stuff, that this ends up being a technical war where both guys come out a little beat up. And Usman notoriously has tons of, you know, shit going on with his body. So, yes. Like, here's...
Got to have that nasty double hernia coming off the Willie fight.
Yeah, and then he, like, broke his wrist against Colby. And then, like, you know what I mean? So, it's like, if he comes out with some kind of injury, then we're going to go into, what, next year in April, May, that you're going to fight?
Summer? Like, I think you're coming off a COVID delay. I think Colby wants...
So something that he's calling for to maybe make sense is George, if the Nate Diaz negotiations fall apart, obviously. But
George Masvidal versus Colby Covington in the BMF title fight, I like.
I don't think there's ever going to be a BMF title belt attached to anybody but Nate and George. Even if he fights Conor, I don't think anybody's going to actually, like, I don't think the UFC is going to run that BMF gimmick unless it's just Nate and George. They've kind of...
I don't think there's any demand whatsoever to see Nate and George part two. I just don't think it's there. And Nate's so notorious to get to the table.
Yeah.
I think he'll hold out. And Dana's such an... Dude, since the Fertittas left, Dana's fuck you attitude to fighters has just gotten even worse. Like, if you don't sign the fight, he's like, cool, fuck you. Yeah. And we'll move the fuck on.
True.
I mean... Masvidal only got that title shot because Fight fucking Island, bro, and because they needed a fucking...
Burns got the COVID.
And they needed, he had to have a big fight come in.
Because in all honesty, Burns was a more legitimate number one contender, if you ask me.
Of course he was. But Dana was desperate, and thus Masvidal got what he wanted. Because before that, what was Dana to Masvidal? Again, he was, fuck you.
Yeah. But then again, is he, though? Because then if you look at fucking how T-Wood looked... against fucking Colby again. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, we're measuring, like, there's a fucking generational gap in this division right now. There's the guys who were, like, the ones who kind of led this division in the early, like, to mid-2010s, and now there's the guys who are, like, the fresh blood of the division that own this division now. Guys like Robbie Lawler, guys like Tyron Woodley, guys like Damian Maia, guys like... Wonderboy Thompson are just, like, kind of being tossed to the side because they are now hitting the age of should you still be fighting? And even RDA, like, those are all guys who kind of have to, like, they kind of have to look at this division and go, are we willing to take the beatings of a guy like an Usman or fucking Colby or even Leon Edwards or, you know, there's tons, or that fucking new guy, Chimaev. Like, there's a lot of vicious new blood. Yeah, like, hungry
these
guys.
These guys are, like, especially when you look at Colby and you look at, obviously, Usman. These are guys with very good wrestling and incredible punching.
Game. Yeah.
And good jiu-jitsu defense. Yep. And they're coming out and whooping some fucking ass.
Yep.
And I would rather see Masvidal versus Covington coming back to that. I personally think that's what's going to happen most likely. I just don't think Nate's going to come to the table reasonably, and I don't think Dana's going to take any shit. He's been on fuck you mode to everybody.
Yeah.
So
I'd kind of like to see Colby versus Nick Diaz, though.
The Nick Diaz thing, maybe.
Because I'd like to see just because how Nick Diaz fights. Nick Diaz has, like, a similar, like, style, but not, like, as polished as Colby's. You know what I mean? Like,
I believe, like, Nick is fighting.
When I see it, yeah. I know.
And it's not I don't mean any disrespect to him, but these are just two guys. You just have to look at people's history. They're very hard to bring to the table.
True.
I believe he's training hard. I believe he put in a tough 14 weeks. And but that doesn't mean he's going to sign the contract, because the UFC could come with some bullshit number.
Yeah, true.
It's not Nick's fault if the UFC comes with some bullshit number and he's like, fuck you.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if we're talking about a company that was willing to pay people, then it'd be a given. Like, fuck, Nick's back.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I mean with Nate, too.
Yeah, a lot of these fights are dying.
It's not that Nate's hard to bring to the table. It's that the UFC offers crap money, and during the COVID, they've been offering even shittier money. And during the COVID, Dana's fuck you attitude has been ramped up even more.
He's out here signing guys for two Gs.
Right. And if he's got a backup in Colby,
yeah,
then he doesn't need Nate so much for that fight. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And so I don't mean to sound like I'm blaming Nate or Nick for this. It's the UFC coming low on cash, which is a story that there's plenty of evidence for that, dude. We don't need to dive.
Well, here's my question in the end, though. Let's just live in a world where Nick Diaz does fight Colby Covington. If Nick Diaz beat Colby Covington, would you put him in a title fight?
Yes. Colby Covington is, in my eyes, without a doubt, the number two welterweight, and he's just behind Usman. That Usman fight was neck and neck until the last round.
I disagree. I think Burns would beat Colby. I think Burns beats Colby and
Usman. You gotta see Burns beat more than what is a wash-up Tyrone Woodley at this point.
Yeah.
Let's see how he does with Usman.
I think Burns beats Usman and Colby, because I think
if Burns beats Usman, then yeah, I think Colby's got his hands full there.
Because you know what? I think Burns is like, he's polished in all the defensive ways to shut down both their games. You know what I mean? Like, he's like their grapplers on the, like, the wrestling side of things, and not so good on the jiu-jitsu side of things. Whereas he's good on his feet and he's good at grappling on the jiu-jitsu side. So, like, if, you know, a big thing with Colby and Usman is take you down and beat the dog shit out of you. You know what I mean? Like, and put the pace on you on top of you. You know what I mean? And I just feel like if they were to try to do that to Burns, he just has so many. We've seen Burns live. Like, he's one of those guys who's like a lifelong grappler. No matter his fight career, he's been grappling since day one, and he's going to continue to grapple outside the UFC and in all these different tournaments. So I just don't see a situation where Usman or Colby takes him down and really just beats the shit out of him, because he has so much defense off his back that I just don't see it happening.
I got to see more before I'm there. Yeah. But what about Nick Diaz? I mean, personally, I think
I would have to see Nick fight.
I don't know. At this stage of their careers,
how old?
I think that Colby would put a whooping out on Nick.
But I wouldn't put it past Nick to, like, catch him.
Yeah, I mean, he's. It's not like he's, I mean, he's Nick Diaz, man. He's one of the greats, but this is a Nick Diaz that's 5 years out of the game, and as the type of fighters that have traditionally shown very little evolution.
Yeah.
Now, the skill set that they do have is top notch, and it's not disrespectful, but the game does change up, and I just don't know. I don't know. I'd have to see it, man.
I feel you.
I hope that. I don't know. I want Nick to fight. I just don't think the UFC is going to come with the cash.
There's just a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these are guys that want cash and deserve it.
They do, yeah.
You know,
because
I'm not faulting them at all for that shit. Know. They know what their value is, but at some point, I don't understand the UFC, dude.
I don't either. Because they're hypocritical as fuck. Because that's just really what it comes down to. Because
I mean, you got Jessica Rose Clark, which, you know, showing her $17 bank account.
She lives in a car.
Dana White showing his fucking goddamn suite. And it's like, how are we supposed to feel about these things? Like, I'm uncomfortable seeing fighters show their bank accounts like that. Well, I'm uncomfortable that it's that low. I'm uncomfortable that you showed it.
The difference between the UFC and Bellator may be talent, but the difference between UFC and Bellator money is the percentage that you get when you fucking fight for the company, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And And the allowance of outside sponsors, which is, I mean, a big deal.
Big deal.
You know.
Yeah. That's why. Well, this all ties into, let's talk about, this all ties into, we'll put that to rest. Colby Covington beats up Tyron Woodley. It's kind of just where
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. He's going to fight one of those two guys next.
Yeah, for sure.
Three. One of those three.
Yeah.
Most likely, I say George.
I think he's going to fight. I think he might hold out till he fights Usman again.
He could. It could happen. He's a stubborn son of a bitch.
He is. Like, he's super stubborn, so.
He don't give a fuck.
I just didn't understand the whole stop running from me thing after he was like, I was like, all right.
Yeah, Usman was like, all right,
I get it. It's like, I get it with you say it with, like, George, because, you know, like, right. You guys, like, had beef in the camp and shit like that. But Usman already fought you. Like, you guys fought. And, like,
yeah,
it wasn't.
You guys put on a great, very close fight.
Yeah, dude.
Five-round thriller.
You can't say, stop running from me. You guys have already fought.
Fucking totally.
But, all right, so let's move on. So, some big news also for the UFC this week is Michael Chandler's agreed to terms on, I don't think they announced how many fights, but a deal with the UFC with a little stipulation to it as well, that he is now signed to be the backup for the Khabib versus Gaethje card.
That's coming up.
I believe it's October.
Yeah, it's bookending the series of fights, like we mentioned, 29th, Fight Island. 24th,
something like that.
Yeah, now he was offered to Poirier and to Tony Ferguson, who both declined that fight. And then in a kind of a fuck you move by Dana, he puts in Michael Chandler as the backup.
Yep.
And the for now de facto number one. Now we'll see if that holds up after the fight. Because he's already saying, well, I don't know if he's next for the winner because he's Dana. But for now.
I would have loved to see Poirier versus Michael Chandler.
They're putting a lot of shine on Michael Chandler.
I do want to say something real quick. Fuck everyone online who's talking shit about Michael Chandler. You guys don't know shit if you're talking shit about Michael Chandler. This fool is literally been one of the best lightweights in the world for the last 7 years.
Dude,
and
MMA
just has
fighting.
Not been in the UFC. Like, people are shitting on his
MMA
name.
Fighting.
You're just all going to look like fools.
Over him
even if he loses,
fucking
yeah, even if he loses to Khabib or Gaethje, that doesn't mean shit. Like, he's still going to be a big player in this division for however long he's in the UFC.
So those guys are saying he couldn't beat a single fighter in the top 10.
Yeah, like, what
like
the
he couldn't
fuck,
stand
dude?
A prayer.
That's
like,
ridiculous. That's just ridiculous.
Disrespect on his name coming online.
Oh, my God.
I don't get it either, man. The guy's a stellar fighter.
Yeah.
He's a Division I All-American.
Yeah.
Khabib has not faced a wrestler with his credentials before now. He is facing Gaethje, but Gaethje doesn't use that wrestling.
Yeah.
Traditionally in his fights, whereas Chandler absolutely does.
Yeah.
So it would be an interesting fight.
Yeah.
Him versus Khabib.
Absolutely.
Although I think if someone's not going to show up, it's likely to be, if it were to happen,
I think it would
Khabib,
be Khabib wouldn't
not
show up.
Gaethje.
Yeah.
So
I've never heard of Gaethje ever pulling out of a fight.
No, me neither, but it has happened before. So what do you think if that happens? Do you think we get a strip here? Because we've already had one interim, and now we've got a second interim.
Yeah. Like, who defends an interim belt? Like, come on. Like, the UFC would just throw it on the list of hypocritical shit they've done this week if they don't, you know?
The guy doesn't fight very often. Like, you can't deny that at this point. He's not a very...
And I get it. He's gone through some shit, and that's understandable.
Well, even before his family issues and his father passing away, he didn't fight very often.
No. It's... The thing is...
I mean,
cross
we've
our fingers, we
had two interim
get there.
Champions because he doesn't fight very often.
True.
Like, Gaethje's the second one in a title reign that's seen him beat Conor and then one interim champion and now facing the second interim champion due to inactivity.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, whether it be,
whether it be, you know, his dad here recently. I hear the Ramadan thing a lot, which I don't understand because there's plenty of other fighters. Like, Muhammad Bilal does. I mean, whatever. To each his own.
Well, why does that mean he can only fight once a year?
Like, yeah, that one period of the calendar year doesn't have anything to do with the whole rest of the year.
Yeah.
So I don't get it, but I hope he makes it to the fight.
Yeah.
Because that'll be a great one. However, if he doesn't, that is a solid question as to what happens next.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think the UFC would have to strip him personally, but Dana likes him.
Yeah.
Feels like he brings a big crowd in from that market.
Yep.
So probably not going to happen.
First, wouldn't be the first star Dana's fucked over, though?
No.
It won't be the last either.
No.
So, I don't know. But here's the thing. Is people need to stop putting so much hate on Michael Chandler's name. He's going to be right in the mix of this.
I agree with you, brother.
For fucking years.
Yes. And Khabib, hopefully after this, he gets a good fight.
Here's the thing, though. Is like he's fucking... He was talking about... I was watching an interview with him and Brett Okamoto. He was talking about how, like, even though he wasn't in the UFC, he was just, like, always studying Khabib, thinking, like, you know, if I ever made that leap to the UFC, I'll be ready. And to think of that, like, in that, like, mindset, like, I'd really like to see what would happen. Just because, like, the difference between him and Gaethje is, like, Gaethje's a good wrestler, but, like, just because he's a good wrestler doesn't mean he's been wrestling his whole, the rest of his career since he's been so heavy on his hands and fallen in love with his striking. Like, yeah, he's got great wrestling, but there's also a chance that Justin Gaethje is not very heavily, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a chance he's not wrestling every day of his life also. Like, if he's falling in
love with his hands. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing in the gym.
Exactly.
But he doesn't use it in his fights.
Exactly. So it's like, theoretically, he should be good enough to stop Khabib based on his wrestling credentials. But there's no promises.
Yeah, how sharp is that tool?
But with Michael Chandler, he's a guy who some fights he'll take someone down and dominate them on top. Mm-hmm. Some fights he'll knock your fucking head off. Mm-hmm. Some fights he'll do both. So he's someone who's been in the gym with Kamaru Usman on numerous occasions, helping him get ready for title fights. So you know those guys are always wrestling. So I think next to Gaethje, Michael Chandler probably would have the best chance of stopping Khabib's wrestling. One thing he said, it was really strange. Strange, but smart at the same time. He goes, okay, so not to really give anything away, but how do you feel like you would beat Khabib? And he goes, I think I'd break him mentally. I was like, what? Because that's supposed to be like his biggest thing. And he goes, not because I'm going to get into his mind or anything, but just because when you're someone as dominant as Khabib, you're so used to being able to have success in so many areas. And I just feel like with my style, I'm just going to fuck his brain up so bad because everything that he does great, I do great too. And he's not going to be able to do what he wants to do. It's going to fuck with his head.
Dude, I think if Khabib wins against Gaethje, that's the fight to make, is Chandler versus Khabib.
I think
the UFC needs to...
I was going, I was like, yeah, they need to make this fight.
They need to... Look, Chandler's 34 years old. He's not going to be in the UFC a long time.
Yeah.
The UFC's paid him a decent amount of money, apparently. Mm-hmm. We can just assume.
I don't think so, because he goes...
Well, decent for UFC.
They go, did you take the best deal on the table or the one that made the most sense for you legacy-wise? And he goes, let's just say I picked the one that my heart chose.
Legacy.
Oh, dude. That
all right, well, shocker.
Fucked you. That means they fucked you, dude.
Well, either way, the second he loses, he's going to lose a lot of shine.
Yeah.
Okay, because he's a Bellator guy.
Got to strike while the iron's hot.
So they got to strike while the iron is hot. If they put him against somebody else and he loses, he's never going to fight Khabib.
Yeah.
But if they might be able to hype that up as a big fight.
And I don't necessarily think so, because I don't think he will lose to any of those guys. That's the thing. I think that he is in a very, like,
well, for some weird reason, Ferguson and Poirier both turned that fight down and said they're going to hold out to fight each other again when Dana already was like, you guys are asking for too much money.
Yeah.
No.
For a 3-round fight, yeah. Like,
and then he peaced out on the whole idea and removed everybody from the card and was like, yeah. Did what? How many times am I say it this podcast? He did the fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
Yep.
And now he's got like another tool he can use in those negotiations.
I wonder if he's getting paid to show up and make weight.
You got to be as a backup to be getting something, at least under the table.
Yeah.
Or not, I don't mean under the table, but not publicly.
Yeah.
Dude, speaking of, well, we'll never know now because Nevada doesn't release that information anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. The Nevada State Athletic Commission voted to quit releasing fighter purse information.
Wow.
And then Mike Russell on Twitter was breaking or sharing somebody else's story. I believe it was Josh Nash's story that the Fertitta brothers have been funneling money to the Nevada State Athletic Commission and the senators through all these various casinos that they own, like way more than they're supposed to have. Uh-huh. They had all these papers online. And Russell was basically saying it was a payoff to the Nevada State Athletic Commission in order to remove fighter purses. Now, I don't know how legit that is. That guy, in my mind, is a legit reporter. But yeah. I don't know what he's got to back that up, because he does put a lot out there. So,
yeah, that's intense if that's true.
Yeah, because it's a weird thing for them to suddenly do.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
It definitely benefits the UFC to not have that public.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no doubt, yeah.
So, but I hope Chandler's getting something. I assume he's getting something to make weight, because he has to go to camp and make fucking weight and weigh in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's a great signing overall by the UFC if they play it right. Hopefully he gets a great fight. I think it's unlikely we're going to see him fill in for anybody in this title fight.
I don't think. I hope not.
Right. And hopefully afterwards he gets something really juicy we can talk about.
Man, I wish Dustin Poirier would just, like, ninth hour fucking sign the fight him.
That'd be dope.
That's the fight, man.
But it's the same story we keep saying. Oh, these guys want to get paid more.
Yeah.
So, I get it. I understand that, too.
Yeah.
But other than Michael Chandler, of course, the big upcoming thing is UFC 253, which we've mentioned here several times. It is the return to Abu Dhabi, the so-called Fight Island. We've got a good card at the top.
Yeah.
Here. We've got Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa, two undefeated fighters for the 185-pound championship. Mm-hmm. And then in the co-main event, also a five-round title fight, we got John Jones' vacant title. He has vacated it. We've got Dominic Reyes and Jan Blachowicz.
Yep.
Blachowicz. Fighting.
Yeah.
For that title. Yep. So, the rest of the card, I mean, there's a good flyweight scrap there, but I mean, yeah. The UFC's turned into boxing when it comes to good fights at the top and a bunch of filler.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I don't even know if it's filler. It's just guys that they're signing off the streets that nobody knows.
Seriously. Really, I don't.
Like these Dana White Contender Series guys and all these different people that they're signing that I don't know if they're paying them adequately either. So.
No, it's cheap labor. There's been some articles on that, you know, going around, some talk about that. I mean, they're trying to hit that number for ESPN, and they're trying to do it as cheap as possible. Yeah. I'm just hoping that after we get through this year, this isn't a trend that continues.
Yeah, hopefully not.
You know, like,
well, let's just talk about the fight at the top of the bill here real quick. Let's talk about it. Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. Dude, you can go back about 25 episodes from now. We were talking about this. What if they fought when I think both of them had like 3 or 4 fights in the UFC? And
yeah.
Like, damn, these guys are going to fight for the belt one day.
Absolutely.
And now we did for the belt.
And here we are, both still undefeated.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. I think Israel is probably going to retain the belt here.
I'm going to favor the champ as well, but he's going to have his hands full.
You know what I think is going to be the difference in the fight? It's just their punching style. Whereas, like, Israel's more of like a down-the-middle kind of like, you know, he's got crisp striking, whereas, you know, he gets from point A to point B quick. He's got that fast switch muscle. Whereas, like, Paulo
right,
comes
in. He's a decorated kickboxer, so he comes with a lot of those classic striking credentials.
And I feel like he's going to try to beat up his front leg to try to get, because what Paulo does great is he's not much of a jab kind of guy. He fucking throws a lot of hooks and uppercuts and he walks you down. So I think a big thing for Israel is going to be cutting him off and hitting him with those leg kicks, trying to take some of that power off his shots. And you know, I think speed and really, you know,
his precision.
Not only that, I think it's also going to come down to you can't operate with that much muscle at full bore for 5 rounds straight.
No, he's shown a pretty good gas tank in the past, but I tend to agree with you. The guy is humongous.
He's huge.
I don't know how he makes weight.
I don't.
I'm And I'm not just saying that. Like, I'm truly, I have no
he's
idea.
He's talked about it, that he wants to eventually move to 205.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He will fucking dominate, I think.
I've heard he's walking around at 223.
Yeah. That's fucked. Jesus. Damn near 40-pound cut. That's enough.
So, I mean, I would tend to agree with you that between Israel's more precise striking
and his ability to get away too,
and his fight IQ, because they may have similar number of UFC or MMA fights, but Israel Adesanya is a much more decorated fighter overall. I mean, he's got close to 100 kickboxing fights. I mean, he's got like 80, 90 something. So that, and what you just said about just the overall taxing muscle weight that he's carrying around over a 5-round fight, you got to give the edge to Adesanya here.
Yeah.
But if he makes one mistake, he's going to get fucked up. One mistake.
He makes one mistake, he's going to get fucked up.
Dude, he is. He's going to... Costa will... He's not going to stand like Yolo Romero and be all hesitant.
Israel's got a pretty solid chin.
If he rocks him, Costa's going to move in for the kill, and we'll see. Yeah. Like, that's just dangerous. Like, he's very, very dangerous. Like, this is a guy that's... Like, he might tire out, and he might throw some kind of looping wild punches from time to time, but he is a tank.
Yeah.
And he's tough as shit.
Yeah.
And,
He did get rocked by Yoel, too, though.
He did, but he came forward with it.
He what? I think if that's a 5-round fight, I think Paulo loses that fight.
The Romero fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
Because I feel like in the third round is when Yoel is really starting to, like...
But this is... I mean, look at Romero.
That's
Yoel
every fight, though.
Except the Adesanya fight.
Yeah, except...
He didn't do it then.
Do shit. Yeah.
So who knows? But, you know, if I was betting money and picking, I'd pick Adesanya. But, man...
I think Adesanya,
smart, my guy,
by TKO in round 4.
Oh, wow. I don't think we're going to a decision here.
Think
I'd be impressed with a TKO. I think we're getting a Costa knockout if he wins, which I think is very unlikely, or we're most likely getting a decision. But I don't expect it to be boring like the Romero fight was. I expect it to be more, you know, akin to like the Gastelum fight.
Yeah. I could see it being like the Gastelum fight, very similar.
Yeah.
Which is why I think...
So Polo Costa's way bigger than Kelvin Gastelum.
Yeah. I think that's why he gets TKO'd. I don't think he gets slept by Israel. I think he gets fucking gassed and just fucking broke. You know what I mean? Like one of those situations where it's not like he's knocked out, but he's so exhausted that they stop the fight
he's
and they're just
so
like...
Many fight, they're so like, many punches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see it. I feel it.
Yeah. That's what I think happens.
Well, what about the 205, the new champ of sorts? I mean, it's a real champ, but John Jones still lurking around.
I think
around.
People
it's
are
tough.
Sleeping on Jan.
I think they are, too. That dude's live. I think he might be the guy. That's my sort of upset pick right there. Because
I think Dominic could be perfect in that fight, and Jan could still sleep him with one punch.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I haven't looked at the odds. I'm just assuming that Reyes is favored to win here, but
yeah,
I'm going with the upset. I think Jan's going to pull it off with the Polish power, my guy. He's going
to. And I don't even know if they were to rematch if he would be able to beat Dominic again.
I don't know either.
I just think that he has enough power in his hands to win that fight at any point.
And I think he's got enough of a chin,
to withstand
for a while till he can land that punch.
Yeah,
that's what I'm picking.
And Jan has some really underrated grappling. If you go back and you watch his fight against Jacare Souza, Jacare spent 5 rounds trying to take Jan down. Mm-hmm. Jacare has been grappling his whole life. Yeah, Dominic's a wrestler, but I don't think it's going to be as easy to take him down as you think.
No, I don't think so either.
Let's be honest here also. Dominic doesn't always show up as the same fighter. He shows up either like how he did against John Jones, or he'll show up how he did against No Time, where he fucking looked like lost in there.
Right.
Like he's had some great performances in his career, but he's also had some ones where you're like, ooh, maybe he's not ready.
And who knows how he is, because he's still...
Because he also could... He said something the other day. I don't know if it was just a promotional kind of thing or something he was saying to the media just to, you know, or if he really believes that. But he thinks, he goes, I think Jan is just, he's not better than me in any point of any part of the game, and he's just slow, and he's going to go out and he's just going to swing and look for the big shot the whole time. It's like
fucking Luke Rockhold.
Yeah, like, dude, that's not going to happen.
Isn't that exactly what Luke Rockhold said? And then went out and got slept.
He got slept. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like,
people underestimate Jan.
He's so quiet and unassuming, man.
Exactly, yeah.
But he's legit.
And honestly, you know who I really think is the uncrowned champion of this division? I think Thiago Santos is the real champion of this division. I think it's just like a matter of him getting this fight that was supposed to happen 2 weeks ago.
The Sheriff fight.
Yeah, and then getting the winner of this, because I think he's already knocked fucking Jan out before, and it was pretty devastating.
It was.
And I think he knocked Dominic out too. I think Thiago Santos is a real champion in this division.
Yeah, hopefully he gets healthy, which they've gone back and forth on the virus, haven't they? Whoever it is, please get healthy.
I think it's been fucking your boy the whole time.
Teixeira?
Yeah. I think it was Glover both times.
Back to back with the COVID?
No, I think like it just his test hasn't cleared yet. Like it hasn't cleared his system.
But either way, that fight needs to happen, so that winner.
We were hoping it was going to end up on this card, but then they made it for the October 3rd card, and then it got fucked over again.
Yep. Well, that's, I mean, the rest of the card, I don't think it's really worth diving into.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you know, if something exciting happens, we'll talk about it next week.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a big boxing card on Showtime's return here. We've got the Charlo twins fighting. One in a title unification bout. It's going to bring three belts together for the winner.
Yep.
And then the other defending.
Yep.
Against some decent competition. There's also, like, on the card, there's several other title fights as well.
Absolutely. Some, like, lower level belts.
Yeah,
like
just that. I mean, it's boxing. There's 1,000 belts. Yeah, 1,000 And I'm not going to pretend that coming off of COVID, I remember who has what in every division. So... however, it's exciting. I like it when they put the brothers together on a fight card.
I do, but I don't. Because if you watch, you go back and you watch the card where it was him and Tony Harrison, where...
When he lost.
We thought that he had won, but
the
judges didn't seem to think so. And then his brother came into his fight like fucking... balls to the walls and almost lost his fight. Luckily, he came back and knocked him out.
Yeah, you had to wonder if he wasn't a little bit emotional from...
No, he had said after the fight he was emotional because of his brother. So, I don't know.
I would hope they did learn from experiences good when they win. Like that. But, I mean, the same thing happens in MMA. The Pettis brothers have talked about it. Like, when Anthony went out and saw his brother lose, it fucked him up in his fight, he said.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
Makes sense.
But I would hope if they're doing it again...
Yeah,
they've thought about the consequences and gotten past it and been like, okay, now I know how to handle this type of thing.
Yeah.
Should it unfortunately happen.
Yeah.
So who do you like in the first one? We have got...
Jason Rosario versus Jermell Charlo.
And this is going to be for the WBC, WBA, and IBF super welterweight unifications.
Yep. Here. I think Jermell's going to win. I think... there's a good chance. I don't know. Because here's the thing. At super middleweight. Oh, wait.
Welter.
The other brother. Shit. Never mind. Talking about the other brother. I'm tripping.
Easy to do.
But, I see him winning this fight. I mean.
Dude, Rosario's a decent fighter, but I'm a big believer in the Charlo brothers. You know, they're both legit. We've written about them for Slugfest magazine. We've picked them in multiple fights here over the past year, you know, back when. The before time. the before time when we had, you know, regular boxing.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer in them in this weekend as well. I think they're both going to win.
Yeah.
I think that Sergey is probably a little bit tougher for Jermell in the middleweight fight.
Well, I think Jermell has a good chance of fighting Canelo in the near future.
Yeah.
Especially now that he's like getting out of his deal, supposedly. He's fucking taking Oscar De La Hoya and DAZN to court.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, he said he'll win his fights in the courtroom just as like he wins them in the ring.
That's gangster.
So, I think he's looking to fight often in a situation where I don't think he's going to come back and fight light heavyweight again. Like, come on.
No. That was ridiculous. No, that was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
That was just a, that was a, I hope, a one-off where he definitely proved a point.
Yeah, he should, just looked undersized in there. Yeah. I mean, he still got the win over Kovalev, but.
And Kovalev's no joke.
Yeah,
it's but very I impressive, think where but I don't think you want to hang out there.
The he should
forever.
Be fighting is like, is the, you know, the Callum Smiths, the Charlos, the freaking, what's his name? Billy Joe Saunders, like those guys, at, you know, those guys are the people he should be fighting. He shouldn't be fighting fucking Kovalev. He's not that big, man.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's good for boxing if both the brothers win this weekend as well. You know,
set them
these
both
are
up
these are promotable
boxing.
Guys. Yeah. We're gonna.
It's good for Showtime,
and I think it's great in boxing. Anytime you start getting titles unified, I think it just really helps out.
Fuck,
for goodness
yeah.
sakes, there's so many.
One face, one name, one champion.
Absolutely, big believer in that. So I am looking forward to that, as well as the, of course, the UFC this weekend, and you know, we're slowly. Slowly getting back into
slowly
combat
back
sports.
Everything,
thing.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
All sports are back now. You got football back. You got everything back.
Yeah. I mean, they're all different, but we're moving forward, which is good. And well,
football's got crowds and stuff. They had 20,000 fans the other night.
Yeah. I hope fighting picks up on that soon.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that the Tyson fight was being held out for, is they're really hoping to get a crowd there.
Yeah. We'll
and
see.
I think, I don't know why these guys can't look at BKFC. There was no problems with BKFC's crowd.
But. Here's the problem, though. It's humans. Here's the problem. It's people like the fans in Kansas City, where they're like, yeah, we're letting you in. Just please wear your mask. And every single fan took their mask off. It's like, come on. I mean, like, if you want to have this shit, just follow the stupid rules. It's not a big deal. Just follow the stupid rules, and we'll have all our shit. Just
well,
like when you don't, then stupid shit like can happen where someone who knows they have COVID and just doesn't give a fuck shows up to an NFL game and gets 100 people sick. And then the NFL, someone contracts it to a player and then a whole locker room gets it. And that's how the fucking season gets finished. It's like, it's just stupid shit. It's like, why are people so dumb? Like whether you believe
well, I don't
in
think,
a mask
I think we can
not,
avoid all of that
mean?
In fighting because we're, I mean, the BKFC event had 500 people there.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Smaller crowds,
know,
for sure.
Like
football stadiums are
like,
huge.
Yeah, we're not going to get 20,000 people
into
a fight for a while.
Yeah, no.
But I don't see why the UFC can't have 500 people in the fucking crowd.
Yeah, 500 people makes sense. You know, and then just like, space them out. Yeah.
If a smaller promotion can do it, you can do it. And it makes such a difference, man. It makes a difference for the fighters, and it makes a difference for the viewers. And but anyways, the Tyson fight's holding out for that. I think they'll be able to do it.
Like, the NFL is pumping in crowd noise.
NFL's pumping in crowd noise.
It actually doesn't seem bad because they never pan out. They always keep the camera steady on the field, and they keep that crowd noise in it, and then you're like, wow.
It's
feels
not
like
cheesy.
A crowd.
They kind of have to because the crowd noise plays a part in the game.
Absolutely does.
So, as we discussed last week. But it is good to see these things coming back. Hopefully, you know, we start to get more fights.
Yep.
And, you know, if the UFC can just get through this year and churn out these events, and maybe next year we can start just getting decent fight cards again.
Yeah.
That's my only fear, is that this becomes the new pattern. And then, I mean, whatever, man. It's not like I'm going to quit
watching.
Well,
I think the gates change things. You can say fuck you when there's no gate. But when you bring people, you put asses in seats, there's argument.
You've got to deliver a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say.
You know what I mean, though? Like, they can do this right now because of what's going on with COVID. Because, like, there's no gate. They're doing what they can because they're making money off ESPN. When they're making off money off ESPN plus the gate, then we're talking different shit here. You know
for
what I
sure.
mean? Then it turns into a different story. Because when now they're just putting on events. They're not necessarily making money off events. Yeah, they're getting ratings and
well, that's
because
all the money
ESPN
comes at the end.
Yeah.
When they hit the 45, they get
exactly.
$750 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're good.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So like in the situation where you get that $750 million, but then you're getting money off the gates, then someone can be like, well, sure, you're putting on an event, but I'm going to fucking fill this arena no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then you can start negotiating. But when you're in a fucking empty, you know, UFC performance center or whatever it is, what are you going to say? Man, I bring eyes to TV. Yeah, no duh, bro. Nothing's fucking on TV. You know what I mean? Like, that's like what the UFC is doing to people. You know what right. I mean? Like, they're not necessarily going like, ah, well, you're right. You have so much fan and viewership and all this shit. There's none of that shit right now because being a fan right now is way different than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's hard to have a brand as like a fighter right now. Like, that's why it's kind of tough. It's just tough. It's like what's happening now just sucks all the way around. And there's really nothing anyone can do about it. These are weird times, man.
Well, we're inching back to normalcy.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get there.
That's the thing, though. Is like, so once we do get back to normalcy, these motherfuckers would be like, hey, I'm going to fill the T-Mobile. Like, you know what you're going to make off me. But right now, it's just not, you just don't have that card to throw. You know what I mean?
100%. I think that's the show, folks.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're brand new, you can catch us on all your major podcast outlets from Spotify to Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You can catch video on YouTube. We're on internet radio, WBUZ95. You can find it on Orange Radio app, radio.net. All of that information is located in one handy fucking spot.
Swapmade.com, where you can head over there, click the gear button, grab a t-shirt, and support the podcast, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Later.